It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you this morning. It's Thursday, the 26th of January, and God is good to each of us. It is in Psalms, I believe, 122. I get the verses mixed up. Let me just go here. I was glad. Yes, I was right. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, Psalms 118, verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So welcome to the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. At this time, we'll have a word of prayer, and we will begin. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this beautiful day. We ask for your presence with us, and we thank you for leading and guiding us in and for blessing us. And we give you glory and honor and praise. And we just can't praise you enough for all you have done and for being the sovereign of the universe, in control, even in this wicked world, even in this country that has reversed its original principles. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my friends, God is good. The opening song is going to be It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's about time for
All right, my brothers and sisters. We are looking at the topic today of what Jesus did when he ascended to his Father. What Jesus did when he ascended to his Father the first time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we open the precious word of God, we ask that you would bless us as we study. Thank you very much for just giving us truths from the Bible. Help us to treasure them in Jesus' name. Yeah. All right, my friends, God is good. And we are talking now about the precious lesson of what Jesus did when he ascended. Now, the significance of this is if you go to Luke 23:43, Jesus told the thief on the cross, the good thief on the cross, that's a kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but the repentant thief on the cross, we just know him by the thief on the cross. Once he's repented, God doesn't look at him as a thief. The former thief on the cross, how about that? He said, I say unto you today, ye shall be with me in paradise, because he asked to be with him. And a lot of people don't understand that the translators that translated the Bible into various languages, including English, they didn't know everything. And sometimes their preconceived ideas influenced their teaching or how they interpreted the scripture. And so they put the comma in the wrong place, okay? If I was to use the phrase, I say unto you, comma, today you will be in heaven. That means on January 26th, Thursday, before this day ends, you're going to heaven. That's what that means. I say unto you, comma, today you will be in heaven. If I was to just move the comma and say, I say unto you today, comma, you will be in heaven. I might say that to someone who is dying, who I know has a walk with God and is surrendered to God. I could say to them and assure them, I say unto you today, comma, you will be in heaven. But that doesn't mean they're going to be there on January 26th, okay, 2023. So the comma makes all the difference. They put the comma in the wrong place. Jesus didn't go to heaven that day. Why? Because how do we prove that? We just looked yesterday at the chapter of John chapter 20. And in that chapter, as it talked about the resurrection, in that chapter, it says in verse 17, Jesus, when he was awakened from sleep and resurrected, then Mary Magdalene came, and when she saw him, of course, she wanted to embrace her master. And he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but I ascend into my Father and your Father. But then we read later that he did allow doubting Thomas to put his finger in his side and his finger in his wounds of his hands and his feet. Okay? So that means he had ascended. There were 7 days between those two events, and he had ascended because he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. So we're talking about what did he do? Well, this is what we can learn from the Bible. You see, the Old Testament is a prophecy somewhat, and the New Testament, not that it has nothing prophetic, but it gives a revelation of the prophecy often. And so they prophesied and typified. There was symbolic elements in the Old Testament that represented Jesus in the New Testament. And my friends, Moses is a symbol of Christ. He's a type of Christ. He came to deliver his people from the bondage of the Egyptian, and the Egypt is somewhat of a symbol of sin in Bible chronology. Okay? They came out of Egypt, out of bondage, and we get to be out of the bondage of sin through Christ. And so Moses communed with God and got messages directly from God, symbolizing to the people that the Son of God would have direct communion with the Father and so on and so forth. So it was to teach them about a Savior to come. Moses had a very important point. That's why when he sinned once in 40 years, which was striking the rock. He had to strike it the first time because it represented Jesus, the rock, being crucified. But once he's crucified, you don't need another. His crucifixion is efficacious for us. It is effective. It covers everybody who wants to be covered by the blood. And so when he struck it the second time, it was as if to say Jesus had to be crucified again, and that would make the first crucifixion ineffective. So God knew that symbol offended God because it didn't teach properly the plan, and that's not what he asked Moses to do. He told him the second time, speak to the rock, when the people were, but Moses was so angry at this stiff-necked people that he struck the rock again. God didn't punish him at that point. He let water flow out. But because of that sin, he could not take the children of Israel over into Canaan. Okay? They had to understand God means what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And because of Moses' high position, he had to show the people the importance of obedience. And so he restricted Moses, and Moses would therefore have to die. But God, in his loving kindness and tender mercy, you read in the book of Jude, one chapter, it speaks about how Michael the archangel did not contend with the devil, but just simply rebuked him. And that means about the body of Moses. So we know from that, friends, that it's simply God resurrected Moses. Now, we do see Moses coming to us in Matthew chapter 17, where you have the transfiguration. On one side of Jesus was Elijah, because he was to represent those who would be translated. That means if we're alive when Jesus comes, we just get translated. But Moses was on the other side, represented those who die in Christ. Amen? And they will be resurrected when he comes again. So the transfiguration was a symbol of what it will be like at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? And therefore, you see Moses. He was resurrected. When you die, you don't go straight to heaven. That's a lie. It came from paganism because they believe the dead live on in other spirits and other ways. That was brought into Christianity through Roman Catholicism, and they used it to bring in idealisms like the saints and different concepts that were used to even deceive people into paying large sums of money to get their relatives out of hell into purgatory, and more money, get them out of purgatory into heaven. My friends, the Bible teaches the living know that they shall die, the dead know not anything, Ecclesiastes 9:5. And then Jesus in John 5, verse 28, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. It hadn't happened yet. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done good, evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's John 5, 28-29. Go over to Revelation chapter 20, and it talks about the first resurrection, and it says the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were expired. So there's 1,000 years between the first resurrection when Jesus comes again. You know, that's why Paul said it is not for you to know. I'm sorry. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 13, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Not bringing them down from heaven, because it's even so. Jesus didn't go to heaven. He went, he died. And even so, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He didn't say they're in heaven. He said they are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the first resurrection, my brothers and sisters. That's future. People who are dead, the Bible says the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go into silence in the book of Psalms. And you will find that Job talked about it, that if I wait, the grave is mine house. Okay? So there's many scriptures. The scriptures support what I'm saying. It does not support the other concept. You will have some parables, such as the rich man and Lazarus, That's a parable. It is a fictitious story, okay? And you wouldn't want to go to heaven if you could look over your deck and see people burning in hell. We don't see look at people burning in excruciating pain right now off of our deck. And so why would we want to go to heaven and see that, okay? That was a fictitious story. When Saul went to the witch of Endor, evil Saul went to the witch of Endor. Though she was practicing witchcraft, those were demons she was conjuring up in the form of Samuel. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 3, but it says that the devil is able to show himself as an angel of light, okay? Revelation 16:14 clearly says the devil works miracles. So the supernatural manifestations that are in or that are seen among the occult, they are simply communicating with demons. And if you are involved in that Ouija boarding and tarot card reading and all of these things, you are dancing with the devil, and he will put his spirit on you, and it will be hard to break. Jesus can help you break it, but you don't want to just invite those evil spirits, my friend. Okay? So when we die, we go. We're resting in the grave with no conscious thought. We're waiting for the resurrection, hopefully the first, if we're righteous. All right? That being said, Jesus went to the Father because he said, touch me not. But then he let him touch him 7 days later. So now watch this. I'm reading to you from Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 38. And this is showing as they were about to get the sanctuary service started, God had some specific instruction for Moses. It says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of myrrh, of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Oh, I'm sure, my friends, it smelled good. And they shall anoint the tabernacle, and thou shall anoint the tabernacle of the congregation. He's talking to Moses now. Therewith, and the ark of the testimony, that's in the most holy place, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense. So he's telling Moses to go into the sanctuary, that holy place that only even the high priest could go. Moses wasn't a priest, but before the priest would begin his ministry, Moses had to anoint it with this sweet-smelling oil. And the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels and the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be the holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, sakte and anicha, I might even be saying those wrong, and galbanum, these sweet spices, with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make it to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. My friend, Moses was a type of Christ. These were symbols of Christ. Christ had to go to heaven, and it was a special ceremony between the Father and the Son because he was coming with his holy righteousness, and that was represented by the sweet-smelling incense. Righteousness as a human now. This is the first time he's meeting his Father in the form of humanity in heaven. He is now a 100% human coming to his Father. He was a spirit before, just like his Father, and now he is and like the Holy Spirit, but he is now in human form forever for the rest of eternity, and he's coming before the Father in humanity, and he has to get approval to see if his Father has accepted the sacrifice. Touch me not, he said, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. This is a beautiful rendition of the sweet perfuming oil that would go in through Moses and anoint the most holy place, the furniture in the most holy place, the furniture in the holy place. And he also anointed the furniture and everything, in other words, in the outer court. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is what is represented by, this is what teaches us that Jesus would go do that, because Moses did it before Aaron would be then becoming the high priest. As a matter of fact, he would then, as part of the process, anoint Aaron to be the high priest. Beautiful concept. It's so beautiful. Oh, the Bible is so sweet, my friend. How sweet is it? And so we need that sweet smelling incense, that righteousness of Christ to cover us and cover our sin, my friends. That's what we need. I'm going to sing a song. I believe I know this song. Let every lamp be burning bright. Let every lamp be burning bright. The darkest hour is nearing. The darkest hour of earth's long night before the Lord's appearing. Then trim your lamps, my brethren dear, then trim your lamps with godly fear. The Master's coming draweth near. Let every lamp be burning. Though thousands calmly slumber on, the last great message burning, we'll rest our living faith upon his promise of returning. Then trim your lamps, my brethren dear, then trim your lamps with godly fear. The Master's coming draweth near. Let every lamp be burning. His word our lamp, his truth our guide. We cannot be mistaken. Though dangers rise on every side, we shall not be forsaken. Then trim your lamps, my brethren dear, then trim your lamps with godly fear. The Master's coming draweth near. Let every lamp be burning. Then let good works with faith appear to help the world around us. Obedience bring the blessing near when faith has firmly bound us. Then trim your lamps, my brethren dear. Then trim your lamps with godly fear. The Master's coming draweth near. Let every lamp be burning. Father in heaven, thank you very much for the fact that Jesus, with his holy, righteous human body, went to get approval from the Father, symbolized by the holy anointing oil, anointing the furniture in heaven, in the holy place, which is a symbol of heaven, and the most holy place, which is a symbol of heaven. The tabernacle thereof, being both rooms in the tabernacle. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be righteous like Jesus. Help us to be just like him, for we can be. For he has made it possible through his blood to cleanse us of everything in the past, and by his life and resurrection to give us power to live a holy life. Help us, Father, today to be like Jesus in word, to be like Jesus in deed, to be like Jesus all day long. We thank you in his name, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. It's time now for us to transition with the wellness song. It's called the Torso Song. We do so at this time.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so that at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, praise God. We're talking today about anti-inflammation. And you need to understand, brothers and sisters, we all need to understand that in this day and age, with all of the challenges that we have, if you all know what those challenges are that are going around, when those diseases come upon people, a disease that keeps you from breathing, a disease that affects your blood vessels, those are processes of inflammation, okay? Your lungs get inflamed, and it destroys the air sacs. The blood vessels get inflamed, and so they start pulling in more cholesterol and clotting, and people are having a lot of heart conditions, myocarditis, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of people, you know, there's the number of people dying unexpectedly has risen. Even the insurance studies, or I think they call them actuary studies, where they look at trends as it relates to, you know, numbers of deaths, how people died. Since certain things have happened, those numbers have greatly increased according to the records of the insurance companies. And so we have plenty, and everybody knows somebody who has died unexpectedly recently. So the point I'm making is, if you want to not be one of those, you need to have a body that is not full of inflammation. So how do you make your body an anti-inflammatory body? Well, the first thing you need to do is understand that when you eat the flesh of dead animals, you're eating inflammation. Animals have inflammation. And you're eating all that, and it makes your blood acidic. When you have an acidic bloodstream, your blood is naturally inflamed, okay? It's an inflammatory diet. Dairy products, inflammatory diet, white flour products, white rice, those are acidic foods. Anything that is more acidic, extremely acidic, or when you have an acidic bloodstream, that's an inflammatory diet. Now, there are natural foods that are healthy for you that might still be on the acid side. They are not as acidic as flesh, okay? So what we're trying to basically say is, if we would get back to God's diet, a great practice is just building your meals around two large salads, a vegetable salad at one meal and a fruit salad at another. Don't eat in between meals. Make those meals at least 5 hours apart. Don't eat the last one too late, and you'll be fine. You'll do well. Drink plenty of water. Get exercise. Don't take on too much. Don't drink, smoke, use caffeine, monster drinks, and coffee and all those things. That's not good for you, my friends. And so we are encouraging you to eat and live a live-free lifestyle. And your body will naturally be a body that is not full of inflammation. Therefore, when a viral agent comes upon you that would tend to inflame lungs and blood vessels, so on and so forth, you're automatically protected against that. Doesn't mean you won't catch it and have no symptoms, but the likelihood of it being serious is very unlikely. And so we want to encourage you to follow God's health plan. Make your environment an environment that is not inflamed, and you will be much better off. All right, that's our health tip for today. We are going to do roll call. I don't see anyone on Facebook. It tells me that there are some on Facebook, but I don't see them. Let me see if I click that. No. So anyway, God bless you wherever you are on Facebook. Sometimes it shows me names, sometimes it doesn't. And but on the call, we have representation from South Carolina, from Georgia, from Ohio, from Missouri. We have representation from Delaware, again, from Alabama, from Ohio, and we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. What's on your heart, brothers and sisters? Press star 6 and share with us. We've got about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. We'd love to hear from each of you. We're coming to the end of this new year month, and we wish you a blessed new year still. Give your heart fully to God. He will bless you. He will help you. He will get you through. We just have to make a full surrender to him. We do have Virginia now on the Facebook. I can see that. And we do have a text message that came in. And the request is to talk about inflammation and hemorrhoids. Well, when you have an hemorrhoid, it is an inflamed, that tissue is inflamed, but hemorrhoids are basically blood vessels that are inflamed. And as the blood vessels in that area are inflamed, they can so expand and become more permeable and bleed. And so it's almost like varicose veins in that area, but it is still inflammation. So a lot of times that's caused by constipation, heavy lifting, things of this nature where we put a lot of, you know, abdominal pressure. You don't want to do that. You know, you don't want to do that. So if we would just eat God's diet, we would have plenty of fiber as long as we drink enough water and it makes a nice stool. And we wouldn't have to push so hard to have an elimination. So that's what I would say. All right, we've got Sister Desiree on the line. We'll go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, good morning. Just wanted to say thank you and just praising God. Issue, as you know, I wanted I'm just thankful to God. I wanted to get on here and give some praise.
Amen. Amen. Yeah,
coming down off, I just want to ask, when you've gone through something, let's say traumatic, as I have, and for 6 months, how does one emotionally come down? I find myself coming down. You're going through all types of emotion, anger or pain, fear, all of that. And how to properly channel, you know, channel that. I can feel like I don't want to go into, and I'm not going to claim that, you know, depression, but I'm just saying, how does one, I guess, with the anxiety, all of that, you know, how do you properly come down? You've been through something for a turmoil for 6 months or so to your own doing, but I just wanted to ask, how did you do that? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the scripture that comes to my mind is, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I believe that's Isaiah 26:3. So what I would say is, if you've been going through something for 6 months, those things that you've been going through, or that thing you've been going through, would naturally have distracted you. You wouldn't have spent as much time in the Word because the distraction was so great. You wouldn't have spent as much time in meditative prayer. Now, maybe you were praying a lot, "Lord, get me out of this," but just prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, prayers to ask God to commune with you, prayers for just direction and what's the next move. So that's that. And then the third thing is, do service. Find ways. Ask God, "Lord, who can I witness to? Who can I help?" And what I just did is I gave you the principle of the table of showbread in the holy place, the altar of incense in the holy place, and the golden candlesticks in the holy place, because that's how we maintain a relationship with Christ. And so the table of showbread represents God's word. So you know, stay in the word. Definitely traumatic events keep us from studying as thoroughly. So take it as an opportunity now that you have the freedom now to get into the word and to memorize scripture without distraction, and to just build up your spiritual bank, so to speak, in God's word. The altar of incense represents prayer. Your prayers don't have to be, "Lord, deliver me from this situation, from this person, from this event, from this whatever." Your prayer can be, "Lord, I just want to know you better. I want to be like you. Please guide me, show me the way, and lead me." And then let your light so shine before men, the Bible says in Matthew 5, that golden candlestick being lit represents serving others. And that's how we maintain a Christian walk. And with you just decompressing from trauma, if I can use that term,
yes,
three processes, even that much more. So Bible study, prayer, and witnessing, serving others, just always being led by the Spirit, so that you know, God will lead you as to what to do. So that's okay. My answer to that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. So glad to have you. God bless you. We have our dear friend Felita on the line on Facebook saying hello. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Anyone else on the call who would like to share anything? And if there's anyone on Facebook, just type any comment you would have. We'll read it and address it. If it's a question, a testimony, anything you'd like to share. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, time now to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out with any closing comments she has and or closing prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for our sister's testimony, and we know, Lord, that you will, through your Spirit, guide her and show her how she can draw even closer to you. We thank you for the victory of our trial, and we just pray that you will continue to bless her in all the ways that blessings are needed. We ask that you will help each of us, Lord, to draw close to you as we study out your word, especially during this time. We need to be ever so close to you, trusting in you with all things, and just asking for your everlasting strength to be with us. Help us, Lord, to be dependent upon you and not upon resources of this world, not upon what a man would say, who may be our employer, giving us a paycheck. We need to know that you are the one who pays us. You are the one who has promised that you would supply all of our need. May we trust and believe and hold on to that promise as we seek you for these things. We ask that you will fill us all spiritually, mentally, physically, and help us, Lord, to be able to be a service to man, as well as to be able to be a service to you faithfully. Let us do all we can in co-laboring with you in your harvest. For these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust.
in the Lord.
I will trust.